Blog Talk Radio.
First Peter 1:15, as he which is holy, which has called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think of, well, y'all say you can't do this, you can't do this, and you can't do certain things.
It don't matter
how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. It's a must. It's not just an optional way, another plate building to get into and just say you're a believer, but it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
Hey, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We are just so delighted that you could join us today for Kingdom of God Ministries. We are just being blessed. We are blessed that you are tuning in. We would like to announce that right now we are seeking the Lord. We are broadcasting live out of from our location, but we are seeking the Lord to get some mailers out. There's about 60,000 homes that we would like to target, and just let people know that we are in the area, in the Atlanta, Georgia area. We are here for you. We are here as men and women of God to serve you. We're not setting up on some big a podium wanting you to serve us, but we're here to serve you. So we just ask you to support us if the Lord put it on your heart to just give a donation. You know, the flyers, they're not flyers, they're actually index cards that we could just send them to every individual home within a radius of the Canton, Georgia area. And they're not that expensive because, you know, just whatever God put on your heart to do, $1, $5, whatever, if God touched your heart to do so, we would be so honored. And if you would like to donate, you could go to our website at www.kogm.net. There is a PayPal donate button, and you could just press that. It is a secured site. And if God places it on you to give whatever amount, we would be blessed by that to help us get this gospel out and to be a blessing to those in the area. And by far and near, we know others might have needs, but God has given us this, this vision of Canton, Georgia and the surrounding areas, and that's what we want to target. So be a blessing to us, help us, and we would appreciate that. Father God, right now we just lift you up in prayer. We just lift our members up in prayer. We lift our listening audience up in prayer, and we ask that you bless them, Lord. We ask that you bless us, that when we go forth today, Lord, teaching your word, that you will empower us to teach it boldly, uncompromising, but we want to just teach it the way you would have us to teach. And, Lord God, we just thank you because you are all-powerful, you all-knowing. We give you all the honor, all the praise, all the glory in Jesus' holy name. Amen. And we're going to, God is still impressed on us. We're still in Revelation. We're just going to another part of the book of Revelation because we know Revelation is so powerful. It speaks in past, future, and present tense. So we can use the book of Revelation and we can teach from now on out of Revelation because it covers every area of our walk as a Christian. There is something in Revelation that we can hold on to that would be beneficial even into this present day and time. So right now we're teaching on, to some they may call it Abaddon, some may call him Apollyon. Why is Satan called Abaddon and Apollyon? Well, we're going to just go over that. We know he is called the Destroyer. But we're going to do a small synopsis on why he is called Satan, Abaddon, and Apollyon. And then after that, Pastor Bobby, he'll come on and he'll bring some more in-depth study of this. But first of all, Satan's names reveal his all-consuming love to destroy the works of God and the people of God. That's why if you notice, we've been teaching it to the churches of Revelation when Jesus was given some he would give rebuke, some he would give rebuke, and he would, he would give them just saying that I'm pleased with you. But others, he just told them he was just going to spew them out his mouth. But before we go into that, let's read the word. Revelation 9, it says, the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit, like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke locusts came upon the earth, which we know these are demon spirits. And to them was given power as the scorpion of the earth have power. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth nor any green thing or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads, the Holy Spirit. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of the scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. Can you imagine that? The shape of the locusts, he says, was like horses prepared for battle. And you can see they were suited up. On their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. They had hair like women's hair, and their teeth were like lions' teeth. And they had breastplates, like breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. They had tails like scorpions, and they were stings in their tails. Their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek, he has the name Apollyon. And this is, it says, one woe is past. Behold, still two more woes are coming after these things. If you go up to the 13th chapter in chapter 8 of Revelation, he said, and I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of the heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Because the remaining blast of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound. Now, he's just letting you know, he's giving you this woe because what is getting ready to come up on the earth, all he could say was woe, woe. You know, when you're going into something, you see something that is just beyond your imagination. We, even in our English vernacular, we say, whoa, what is that? Well, this is what they're saying, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Okay, we know Satan's names reveal all his consuming lust to destroy the works of God and the people of God. But Christ came to destroy the works of the destroyer. Okay, let's go on. Satan's origin as Lucifer and his essential nature as the adversary of God and the saints. And he is the father of lies. You see what I'm saying? He is the father of lies. So you can't believe what he says because he was a deceiver from the beginning. I'm going to go on. Biblical data revealed through Satan names his specific role as destroyer. One of Satan's key aims is to destroy the creation and work of God. Satan especially seeks to destroy mankind generally made in the image of God and the redeemed saints of God in particular who bear the name and image of Christ. We have already seen that Satan goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That's 1 Peter 5 and 8. We can still... Satan's an all-consuming lust for destruction, and we're going to get into that. First, he came as the serpent. Satan is in Genesis chapter 3, where he took the form of the serpent to tempt Eve. And then over in Revelation chapter 12, it identifies the serpent of the beginning of time and the dragon of the end of time as one and of the same. So the great dragon, which we know as Satan, was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil, and Satan, who deceives the whole world, he was cast to earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Revelation 12 and 9. The serpent, as we shall see, is the destroyer. Satan is the destroyer. He was a murderer. And if you know over in Genesis, the first murder that took place was when Cain slew his brother Abel. That murdering spirit has since been in the land. Look at today on the news. We got an incident right now where the man shot the bus driver and then took the little 6-year-old, 5-year-old in hostage. And I pray in my prayer blog right now, Lord, I ask that you touch this man. Touch him, Lord God. And you will release that child with no harm. Lord, we just speak of protection over that baby right now in the name of Jesus. But every demonic stronghold that has this man bound, Lord, we ask that you break it right now by your power in the name of Jesus. Amen. He was a murderer. And we will look at John 8:44, and from the standpoint of Satan's essential nature as a liar and the father of lies, okay? Jesus declared Satan was a murderer from the beginning. So you see all these murdering spirits. I was looking at, I believe, CNN, but they say in Chicago alone last year had over 500 murders. Atlanta is not far from it. I'm here in Atlanta, and I have to tell you that I am appalled at the murders growing up in school, shooting, murder, murder, murder. We're supposed to be one of the most civilized countries on the face of the earth, but yet we're running around murdering each other like nothing. This is the attributes of the destroyer. Satan is a great slayer of humanity. And that murderous pursuit don't begin in Eden, like I told you, with the word, God has indeed said, man's rebellion against God makes him Satan's prey. Let's look at Ephesians 2:2. And I'm going through it because I want to yield the floor to you. 2:2. He said, Ephesians 2:2, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. You see what I'm saying? So when you see that people that have this murderous spirit, they are not children of God. That's why I say the incident where the man shot the man up at the church. You were just in church, but you did not have the Spirit of God in you. Okay, then over here in Ephesians 4:22, and I'm just giving you just some examples of the attributes of this destroyer. It says that indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You can't be sitting up in church with no murderous spirit. You need to get that thing cast off of you.
Amen.
What's going on? He was the dragon. The identity of Satan as the dragon is associated with the vision of the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 12 identifies Satan as the dragon who attempted to destroy the male child, which was Christ, and as the persecutor of the woman who gave birth to the child, which is understood by to be represent Israel. Satan indeed attempted to destroy the incarnate Christ through the temptation in the wilderness, and he is the destructive enemy of both the physical and spiritual seed of Abraham. He wants to destroy you. That's why Jesus said he is a destroyer. He walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. In Revelation chapter 13, Satan is identified as the dragon who gives the beast his power, his throne, and great authority to rule the entire world. That's Revelation 13:2. All the unsaved of the earth will worship the dragon. That's why he said, if you do not have that seal, when that woe went out, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, he was given instruction that if you did not have that seal on your head, on your forehead, to persecute you, to torment you, actually. So you got to be clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Okay, he was given great authority to rule the entire world. That's Revelation 13:2. All the unsaved of the earth will worship the dragon who gave authority to the beast, as well as the beast himself. Empowered by the dragon, the beast will make war with the saints of God and put them to death. Abaddon or Apollyon, Revelation 8:13. The fifth trumpet of Revelation chapter 9 heralds the release of a horrible end-time plague upon those who do not have the seal of God in their forehead, tormenting them in such an excruciating way that men will seek death but will not find it. That's Revelation 9:4-6. The creatures described as locusts who are instruments of this horrific plague are under the authority of Satan. The angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, destruction, but in the Greek he is the name Apollyon, or destroyer. The name Abaddon also appears in several other places throughout the Bible, over in Job, in Psalms, in Proverbs, and is consistently translated as destruction. You see what I'm saying? He is a destroyer. He is destruction. Why do you think that he gets in the mind and hearts of people so that he could destroy your very life? Okay, he is the thief. Although Jesus did not identify Satan by name in the parable of the Good Shepherd in John 10:6-18, he clearly had Satan in mind when he said that In contrast to the good shepherd, the thief comes not but to except to steal and to kill and to destroy. And this is taken from the root word Apollyon. The triumph. The Christian can praise God that Christ came into this world to destroy the works of the destroyer. For this purpose, the Son of God has been manifested, came to earth in human form, that he might destroy the very works of the devil. That's 1 John 3:8. As children, we have partaken of the flesh, of God's children, we have partaken of the flesh and the blood. He himself likewise shared in that same, that through death he might destroy him who had power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. That's over in Hebrews 2:14-15. The cross of Calvary is the scene of God's triumphing over the enemy. Let's look at Ephesians 6:12, how we need to equip ourselves. And this is the only way you're going to fight the spirit of Satan or defeat Satan. Romans 6:12. He says, Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Amen. So you see, therefore, we got to gird up ourselves with the armor of God. We've been teaching you how you got to get in the Word, how you got to get that breastplate of righteousness. You got to get equipped. You got to get suited up in the Word of God. Because if not, you won't be able to stand in this evil day. This is the only way that you're going to be able to stand. When I was looking up some things, and you notice that Hollywood, they all getting geared up for their entertainment. And what Hollywood does, they get you so dumbed down with what's really going on that you're not even conscious of what's going on. You're not even in the real, you say you're in the real world, but you're in la-la land. And I'm talking to the church, too. The church is a prime example of La La Land. I have nothing against a good Super Bowl. But I was looking at Atlanta, and they're willing to spend over $1 billion to build a new stadium. Why don't you take that money and put some of these homeless people to work? Because they are a god of pleasure. I was looking at Dionysus. He was a Greek god. He was the great Olympian god of wine, vegetation, pleasure, and festivity. He was depicted as either an older bearded god or a pretty and feminine long-haired youth. His attributes included a pine cone-tipped staff, drinking cup, leopard, and fruit and vine. He was usually accompanied by a troop of satyrs and female devotees or nymphs. You see what I'm saying? Most of these Super Bowl, most of all this entertainment, you got some kind of sensual, sexual woman, beautiful, sensual woman, pushing the alcohol, you see what I'm saying? So this is how the enemy can get into your home. Am I saying you don't need to look at TV? If you could find a good movie, sure. But a lot of this stuff is so saturated with these particular demonic gods that you're so oblivious, you don't even know what's going on. Let's look at some of these gods, and then I'll be out your way. Who is the god of pleasure? Okay, we know that Valentine's Day is coming up, and we know a lot of times they use Cupid. Well, Cupid was a Roman god. He was the god of love, sensuality, and pleasure. We have another god. He was Albanian folklore, Prindy. He was the goddess of love. Then we have the god of, Venus. That's the goddess of sensuality, pleasure. So you see that a lot of these gods, then we have another god, a god of love, arts, games, beauty, dance, flowers, maize, fertility, and song. Look at the entertainment. Look at the secular entertainment. You see the dancing, and you're going to see that Beyonce going to be up there today. represent her god of sensuality, and you watch. Watch what is portrayed with the song and the dance. It's to lure you in, and you're going to be sucked up if you don't have the armor of God on. Then you got the god of lust, goddess of lust, carnality, sexual misdeed. Then here's another god, goddess of sexual passion. Then you have the goddess of sexual appetite, goddess of sexual longing, goddess of sexual desire. It goes on and on and on. That's why we have to be girded up with the whole armor of God, saints. We are fighting a spiritual war. Satan is dumbing you down so you will not get the word. You won't get the word. A lot of times you're going out, but you're not getting the true word. You're getting sugar-coated cereal. This is why we teach the way we teach, because we want you to wake up and see what's actually going on. I have given you just a brief study of, and I can't forget Aphrodite, the god Aphrodite, goddess of love, lust, and beauty. And just watch the Super Bowl. To those that's going to watch it, and I don't condemn it, but do not let this stuff take precedence over God's word, okay? We love you, and I will conclude my part of this message and turn it over to Pastor Bob. You guys be blessed. We love you. Amen. Praise God.
Praise God, children of the Most High God, and we are just thankful for what we have heard so far in reference to Abaddon the Destroyer. And one thing I would like to bring out, we know that the Lord Jesus said that Satan was a destroyer. He comes but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Satan and Abaddon are two different individuals. Satan now, he's really not bound up, as you heard Paul say. He walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may destroy. So at this point in time, Satan is still, he's not bound up, but he will be in the future. Abaddon, on the other hand, he is bound. He is bound in the abyss, and the abyss has him trapped. Now, an abyss is not just a hole in the ground. It's a bottomless pit, and it is spoken of as a bottomless pit that you can't measure the depth of it. So you really don't know how deep it is. Now, Abaddon is in the abyss, and not only is Abaddon in the abyss, but all of his cohorts, because you have to remember that Abaddon is a king over a particular kingdom or a particular group of other demons. Now, we realize that these other foul spirits were these various locusts that were mentioned earlier. Now, there was a description of these particular beings that were given earlier, and these beings were some creatures that were really out of a horror movie. Because we haven't seen anything in any horror movie that describes these things that's coming up out of the bottomless pit. And they were saying these things were, and they're physical. I'd like to say they're physical. This is not something that's just spiritual. These are physical beings. These are physical beings that you can see. You can touch, and whoever is on the earth at that time, and whoever is not saved, and whoever does not have the seal of God in their forehead, they will feel them, because these particular creatures are brought up out the pit only to torment the unrepentant. Think about that. They're coming out of the pit with Abaddon only to torment but not kill, only to cause suffering but not kill, only to persecute and hurt those individuals who don't have the seal of God in their foreheads, for those who are not saved, for those who do not have a relationship with God in this time. sometime in the future, these horrible beings will be tormenting mankind for a full 5 months. It says day and night they will be tormented by these creatures. By these creatures that are up under the reign of Abaddon, who is king and ruler of these foul demonic creatures. That we have no, I mean, we have a description of them. So they look like horses, have crowns of gold on their head. They have face like human beings, hair like women, teeth like iron, scales of iron breast, like iron breastplates, and scorpion tails where they can, if you notice, their strength and their power of these horrible beasts is in their mouth and in their tails. A lion has great strength in his jaws. So these things are going to be biting and stinging people, but they won't die. Death is going to run from them while they are being tormented by these horrible beasts in the last days, in which the Lord has allowed this to happen because men and women and children refuse to repent. And as a result of them not repenting, and as a result of them going after the things of the devil, the Lord will unchain and unlock Abaddon, and he will come out of his prison, which is the abyss, the bottomless pit that God had originally put Abaddon in because he originally broke the laws of God. He originally went against God, and as a result of him going against God, God took Abaddon and all of his hosts and threw him in the bottomless pit and locked the door on him. So right now, people of the Most High God, Abaddon and all his cohorts are still locked up in the bottomless pit. Well, why are we talking about Abaddon the Destroyer? Because when Abaddon and his host is loosed out of the bottomless pit, he will cause untold suffering on the earth. Because he is the beast. And he will put untold suffering, persecution, pain, destruction, murder, and every abominable thing that you can think of, he will unloose this on the earth. Now, why is this going on? It's going on because we are in the last days, and because people are totally unrepentant. Folks, people have left their first love, and they have attached themselves to just about everything that Satan put out. They have attached themselves to just about everything that Satan has put out. Now, I'm going to go through some scripture in reference to what I'm talking about, in reference to Abaddon the Destroyer. And it really, when you talk about Abaddon, when you talk about this particular king and this particular kingdom, really, it goes from just about Genesis to Revelation. Now, in Genesis, in the beginning, Abaddon had some correlation with people. In other words, he could deal with people, could communicate with people. But because of his evil, because of the evil things that he taught people and the evil things that he did in these various kingdoms that he established, God said, "No, buddy, uh-uh. No, I'm not going to allow you to totally corrupt the people that I have created in my image, because God created mankind to be extensions of himself, to be righteous on the earth. That's why God created man. God did not create man to be demonic. God did not create man to do wrong. God created man to be an image of himself and to put forth righteousness on the earth and to rule the earth in righteousness. And then what happened? The enemy, Satan, came along and perverted that. And when he perverted that, then Abaddon came on the scene and perverted it more. Why? To turn mankind away from God. And at this point, mankind is turned away from God. And since mankind has been turned away from God, God said, look here, man, you don't want me. You're kicking me out to school. You don't want to hear my word. You pervert the word. You got satanic churches. You got churches of alternative lifestyle living. Well, I'm going to give you what you want. You don't want me. I'm going to give you what you want. You want the devil? Okay, here he is. And look at what you see. All you see all around, as Sister Montgomery said earlier, is murder, killing, thefts, robberies. You see lasciviousness. You see lewdness. Pornography is just blown up all over the world. In other words, you just got a relative hellhole on the earth. But you know what? People chose that. They want that. Don't want God. They want that. And that's what they're getting. But when you ask for that, when you seek that, what do you get? You get Abaddon. You get the destroyer. You get devils. You get demons. You get witchcraft. You get sorcery. You get Satanism. Look, there's no in between. Either you're on the Lord's side or you're on the devil's side. There's no in between. There's no good witches. There's no good Satanism. No, there's none of that. There's no it's either God or Satan. That's it. That's all. I'm sorry. That's what it is. And nowadays, the cure for the world today, I keep saying, and I'm going to continue to say it, I'm going to continue to say it, and I'm going to continue to say it, the cure for the world today, it's Jesus Christ, Yeshua, Emmanuel, the Son of the living God. He is our deliverance. He is the only one that can protect us from Abaddon. He's the only one that could keep us from being destroyed from Satan and all his demons. We have no power within ourselves to defeat the enemy. The only power that we have is in Christ Jesus. It's in Christ Jesus. It's in Christ Jesus, people. Wake up. We're living in the last days. We're living in the last moments. We're just about right now to go into Revelation. Look, the Lord is on his way back, people, children of the Most High God. The Lord is on his way back. He's getting ready to come and take us home with him. But how are you going to get there? You're going to get there through Christ Jesus. You're going to get there through his word, through his Holy Ghost. And that's one of the reasons why we're talking about these demonic spirits, because these things are for one reason. And they are to separate you from God and Christ. They are to keep you from your inheritance in Christ. They are to keep you from the kingdom of God. They are to keep you from receiving your mansion and your reward that God has for you in heaven when you follow the Lord Jesus. And it's simple. The only thing you have to do is accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. The only thing you have to do is believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God and that he died on the cross for you and that he was buried and resurrected on the third day that you might have eternal life. You just have to repent. Tell the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sorry for my sins. Forgive me, Lord, and I'm going to live for you. That's it. It's simple. It's not hard. But we have all these foul spirits. We got all these demons running around telling you lies, giving you false religions, telling you, I mean, you have people that are saying that the devil is really Christ. Mm. You have people out there saying that the devil is the one that's going to rule the world, that he got his own kingdom and he's going to treat you good. No, he's not. He's going to destroy you because that's his name. He's a destroyer. So what do you think he's going to do? He's going to destroy you. But let me read a few things. Praise God. Hallelujah. I just wanted to bring that out because that's what it's about. It's about your soul. It's about your eternity. It's about where you're going to spend your eternity. That's what it's about. But God is, he's putting it out there, saying, repent, 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 repent. Just like Noah, he said in the days of Noah, that's how it's going to be in this time. It's going to be exceedingly evil, and it's not even halfway there yet. But the way to escape all this is repentance. It's simple. It ain't hard. Let me read a few things to you. Now, all right, praise the Lord. I'm going to read 2 Thessalonians 2:1. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come and hasn't come yet. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed. The son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God and that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now listen to this. Now Paul is talking about the return of the Messiah, and which is soon to come. He's telling the Thessalonians not to be deceived if someone tells them that Christ has already returned, because he hasn't. Because some definite events have to occur before the event will happen. The first of the events is the falling away, which you are experiencing now. A falling away from what? From the truth. Another event, Paul says, must take place is the appearance of the man of sin who will attempt to usurp the power of God. Well, now, we haven't seen him yet, but the man of sin is the beast. And the beast and Abaddon coincide. They could be the same. Because this Abaddon creature is going to take on the form of a man, and he's going to receive his power from Satan. Not from God, from Satan. And Abaddon is going to say a whole lot of things. He's going to do a whole lot of things that's going to, how you say, confuse men's mind and cause them to follow after him. And he's going to make himself to be God, or called himself God, and stand up in the temple of God, but he's not. He's a deceiver, and he's a liar. Now, in 2 Thessalonians 2:5, now, do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things, and now you know that what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and will destroy with the brightness of his coming. That goes back to what I was saying earlier. Abaddon is restrained now in the abyss, in that bottomless pit. He is restrained there. And he will be restrained there until the angel, God sends the angel with the key to the bottomless pit, and he will unlock that bottomless pit sometime in the future. He will unlock that, and these Abaddon, the destroyer, and all these other devils and demons and scorpions and locust-like creatures will come out of the pit, and they will immediately start to torment those who do not have the seal of God in their forehead. Now, that's the future. That's what the scripture says. But right now, he's restrained. He cannot do what he desires to do because he is restrained in the abyss. He can't get out. At one time he was free. Around the time of Genesis, God bound him, threw him in the abyss with his cohorts, and that's where he is now. So what we're dealing with now is Satan and all his demons. And Satan is even limited in that area, because we have to remember that God is all-powerful. Yeshua is all-powerful. He's all-powerful. So since he is all-powerful, that means Satan is not, and demons are not. So we can be encouraged in that, that God is the all-powerful one, and he is in control. Remember that he is in control, so we do not have to look at the circumstances of this day and be dismayed, because we know that God is the ultimate winner, and he will win, and he is winning regardless of what it looks like. Saints, we're on the winning side. Saints, we're on the winning side. Saints, we are on the winning side. Be encouraged in that. Hallelujah. Praise the holy name of Jesus. Glory to God. Now listen at this. Paul was speaking to the Thessalonians. He said, there's something that's restraining the man of sin, which I said earlier. It says he's being held back. He's being detained. He's being prevented at this particular time. Now, and I've already mentioned those things, so I don't have to go back over that. Now, we're going to go into some other things in reference to Abaddon, because it covers a lot of things, and we won't be able to get into the biggest part of it, but I want to bring out some things in reference to about Abaddon. And what Abaddon is, the description of Abaddon and his kingdom. Abaddon, let me just read some things to you here. Revelation 13 and 1, then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and on his horns ten crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Now, half of this verse describes Abaddon in symbolic terms. Now, to determine what the description means, we'll have to look at other related passages of Revelation 17, and explanation of these heads and horns is given. Now, Revelation 17 and 1 reads like this. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on the many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. Now, you can see in Revelation 17 and 3, the scarlet beast the woman rides looks very similar to the beast which arose from the sea, if you notice that. Now, listen to this. Revelation 17 and 4 reads, the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet. Now, purple is representation of royalty, okay? Of royalty. And kingship and government. Now, scarlet, on the other hand, when you say scarlet, is representation of sin, okay? Wrongdoing, lewdness. That's scarlet. So you have an amalgamation or a conglomeration of government, kingship, and sin. So you have both of that together. That's what she was arrayed in. So you see, it was a governmental and could be religiously amalgamation with sin. And adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, wealth, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. But the angel said to me, why did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and the ten horns. Now listen to this. There's been several opinions about the identity of the woman. Now, we're told that this woman riding up on this beast. Now, this is a representation of Abaddon and his kingdom. Tell us the woman is the mother of harlots. Her harlot daughters are the ungodly governmental systems of this world. The great harlot is the sum total of all satanically inspired religious, societal, governmental systems in existence since the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. And says, Revelation 17:5, the woman is Babylon the Great. Now, the fact is verified in Revelation 17:18. It says, tells us that this woman was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all who have been slain on earth. This scripture declares that this woman is responsible for the blood of everyone who has ever been slain on the earth. Obviously, this cannot represent any one human system. Babylon the Great is the false religious, societal, governmental system of Satan, who has been a murderer from the beginning, John 8:44. This harlot is the mother of all angelic human governmental systems that have ever existed apart from God. The original version of this system culminated in the Tower of Babel under Nimrod, the first type of what? The Antichrist. The end time version of this system will be hated by the beast and the ten horns and will eventually be destroyed by them. You see that? Now, the very thing that these people were involved in that was satanic, evil, the beast, and the ten horns are these ten kingdoms, is going to destroy that false religion, that false teaching. It's going to destroy the whore. It's going to destroy the whore of Babylon. It's going to destroy that particular religious belief or that particular false teaching. He's going to destroy that. Why? But why is he going to destroy it? He's going to destroy that so he can have the upper hand, so he can be worshipped, so Abaddon can be worshipped, so the devil can be worshipped. I'm going to read something else. The beast that you saw was and is not and is about to come up out of the abyss and go to destruction, and those who dwell on the earth whose name has not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world will wonder when they see the beast and he was and is not and will come. That's in reference to the past, a little time in the time of Rome and after the flood and all that, but he's going to rise again. Now, I'm going to finish some things up. The time is almost gone, but I just wanted to bring that out. Let me bring this out right here. The angel meaning, when he tells John that the beast he saw was and is not and will come, the language definitely implies it's a time element involved there. Stated earlier, John likely recorded this prophecy around the year 95 CE, and the angel clearly tells John that at a point in time, the beast is not, and at the time of John the Baptist, that beast wasn't present, okay? Yet the angel says that the beast was past tense. He was at the time of, you know, Babylon, Egypt, Greece, Media, Persia, and Rome, but not at that time, not at the time of Rome. And he also said that the beast will come up out of the abyss. That's future tense. Okay, that's what we were talking about. Now, Abaddon, what I want you to receive, Abaddon was free in the time before the flood to interact with humanity. We brought that out a little bit earlier. Yet because of the devious and destructive nature of his sins, God saw that it was necessary to imprison and restrain him through him in the abyss. Therefore, at the time John received this vision, Abaddon was not, because he was locked in the abyss. However, as the angel makes clear, this beast, and he is the beast, will in the future be freed from his imprisonment and will come up out of the beast, out of the abyss, and he will cause untold chaos on the earth. There is one thing I want to bring out, is that in everything that we said, we only have a few minutes left here, is that God is the ultimate victory. We have to remember that Abaddon and the beast in the not-too-distant future, he's going to only reign for 3.5 years. Now, he's going to do a whole lot of damage in that 3.5 years. He's going to persecute the saints. He's going to persecute the things of God. He's going to have great swelling words against God, great swelling words against anything that has to do with God, great swelling words against the saints, against the Jews, against anything that is like the true and living God, against Yahweh. Abaddon, the beast, the false prophets, the devil is going to come full force against God and his people. But God will ultimately destroy the beast, the Antichrist, and the false prophet, and there will be no more. So that now they're working some stuff now with this new world order that what is a demonic inspired governmental system with a false religion, and Satan is going to take over it. And Satan going to give Abaddon his power to destroy. But that's only for a short time, saints. So I want you to know, I want you to be encouraged that we will win and that we are winning and that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will return and he will destroy all the works of the enemy, because that's what he came for. And you know what? We're going to help him. But saints, I want you to be encouraged. We're out of time now. I want you to be blessed, and I want you to say that we already have the victory in Jesus Christ. Hold on to that. Pray, fast, strengthen yourself in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, because our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has all power. He's almighty. He has already won the war. He's on, and he's winning right now. That's what you take courage in. Y'all be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. And we'll be looking and listening for you next time. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.